Lord of every king and kingdom, of every president and nation, of every person, of every race, language, ethnic group, and tribe. We praise you, for you are the Lord of all. We come to you this morning with a mix of hope and of uncertainty as we look to the political changes and the challenges in our nation, state, and world. We look to you now and always, remembering that you are our true hope. And so in every season and in every situation, we venture forward, Lord, with confidence in your steadfast love and faithfulness. We praise you that your love is not limited by human design borders and political affiliations, and that your goodness is extended to all people, regardless of political party or perspective. We acknowledge that you are the giver of all good things. And we thank you today for the gift of this amazing land in which we live. We are awed by its beauty and majesty, the marvelous wealth of its natural resources, the amazing diversity and abilities of its people. Yet we confess that we do not always treat these blessings as gifts, nor are we always thankful. At times we take your blessings for granted, imagining that we are entitled to this life and all that we enjoy. At other times we grab at the blessings, we fight over them, exploit them, and cling to them as if they were our source of life, rather than you. Forgive us, we pray. And hear us in these moments as we silently pray our own personal prayers of confession for our part in the injustices and troubles of our world. We thank you, O God, for your grace, your forgiveness. We pray that by your Holy Spirit, you would create in us clean hearts and lead us to be the people you created us to be. We pray this morning, O God, for our nation, our states, and our local communities. We pray, O God, for your blessing upon our President Barack Obama and upon our President-elect Donald Trump. Grant them and all who serve the wisdom, faith, and perspective they need. Protect them from the temptations that come with power, prestige, and wealth. Grant them, O God, a humble spirit before you, refreshment and renewal of body, mind, and spirit. Bless them and their families with vital, healthy relationships with one another and with you. And God, grant us, especially those of us who call ourselves by your name, grant us strength of character, the vision to pursue truly noble dreams, the courage to stand up for what is right, the compassion to reach out to, stand in solidarity with, and extend a helping hand to our neighbors, the perseverance to continue onward in the face of life challenges, and the faith, O God, to look to you, learn from you, trust you, and follow you. For you alone are the way, the truth, and the life. Grant us, O God, and your church around the world, your Holy Spirit, and empower us to live as your people. Increase our faith and lead us to walk humbly, faithfully, and in love, as we look to the day when the prophet's dream shall come to pass, when justice shall roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream, when nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. This we pray with thanksgiving and with fervent hope through our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of all. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you for being people of prayer with me, for being people of hope with me, for being people of conviction and of courage, of faith and of love. And to the degree we are not those things all the time as fully as we would like to be, thank you for being here to encourage me and to encourage one another to become more fully always the people we know we want to be and God has created us to be. This morning, we're continuing a series on learning the way of Jesus. This is the season after Epiphany. Epiphany is that season in the church year when we celebrate that the light has come into the world through Jesus Christ. And we celebrate that as people began to walk in that light and allow that light to shine for them and in them and through them, the life of the church began to spread, to grow around the globe. And that's still the truth today. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, says that to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the man or of the will of the flesh, but of God. And that's true today as we look to the light in Jesus Christ and we allow his light to come alive in us. We get to live in this world amidst the changing administrations and kingdoms of our world. We get to live as children of God. There's no better opportunity or gift we can have than to be a part of the work of God in this world. So I want to invite you, as we continue with our sermon series this month, to reflect on and pray for God's help that we might actually learn Jesus' way more and more. You know, last week, as we talked about learning Jesus' way, to walk in the light, we talked about Jesus' first step. In the Gospel of Matthew, how Jesus' first step is described to us is that of being baptized. And as we looked at Jesus' first step, it spoke to us about how we can step forward on the path of God's call in our own lives. And so looking to that step, we saw Jesus took the step of being baptized. We know that actually walking on a path following Jesus means taking another step. And so we ask, what's next for you? That we be asking God every Sunday we come here, every morning when you pray to God, what's next for me, God? As we enter into 2017, what's next? There's always another step. We never arrive in this life. We always are seeking to take our next step in learning and growing and in serving in Christ. So what's the next step? The second thing we talked about is that as we pray about discerning God's path for us, what it means to walk in the way of Jesus, that love will always be leading the way. It's always going to be love at the center of that question for us as we wrestle with God, what's my next step? It certainly was part of the step for Jesus. He descended from heaven. He emptied himself of his power, prerogatives, position as God, and became human, took on human flesh, that step of love. And he was baptized in love for us. And so too for us, our next step will always involve love. Even if it's a tough love, you know, as parents, you know, there are times when love leads you to say no. But love's at the heart of that. And for us to remember that, even when we're saying no, it's because I love. That we go into 2017 and whatever happens in the coming weeks and months and years, not letting fear lead us, not letting anxiety lead us, not letting bitterness and anger, but letting love lead us. That's how the light will shine. And as we step forward, to know that we can expect resistance. Every time we make a decision to move forward, we're going to hit resistance. Jesus hit resistance. His first step there, Gospel of Matthew, to go be baptized. And it's John the Baptist, this great prophet, says, oh, no, no, no. I should be baptized by you, not you by me. You know, it's often even those who love us, those who are with us, that kind of resist the change. And certainly it's often from within us. But to know that there's going to be resistance when we try to follow Jesus, to expect it, to name it, and to ask God to help us work through it or around it, but not to allow resistance to keep us from moving forward. And then finally, that we do take those steps, that we do step forward, and as we step forward, that we stay attentive to God's presence, God's blessing, God's provision. And we see that in Jesus as he's baptized and he comes up out of the water and he sees the heavens open and the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven says, "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I'm well pleased." You know, that we would enter into every moment more and more. That's the spiritual life for us. Attentively. Knowing that God is with us. And that if God is with us, all bets are off. I mean, anything could happen. God's speaking, and we can just practice listening. Imagine how our lives and our world would be transformed. So to step forward and to do so attentively. Today's passage from John chapter 1 speaks of the 2 days following Jesus' baptism. And I want to invite you, as I share these words, to hear how John the Baptist and these two disciples who are with John and then with Jesus, how there's this sense of attentiveness. They're noticing what's happening and they're wanting to join in. The sense of wonder that's taking place. Come and see, behold the Lamb of God. This attentiveness that God calls us to. So hear the word of God, John chapter 1. I love babies. Is the sermon that bad?
No.
I'm going to try to tell it. Now, and having said that, I'm going to read it. Because that just put more pressure on me. The next day, he saw Jesus coming toward him. That's John the Baptist. He saw Jesus coming toward him. And he declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes one who ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'The one upon whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he asked them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." And they came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Now, one of the two disciples who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first went and found Simon and said to him, "We've found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Peter," or Cephas, which is translated Peter. I always love it how that passage ends, you know, which is translated Cephas, which is, you know, "You're going to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter, and I think that still doesn't help. We need yet another translation. As you might know, Peter means rock, or actually these are more in the Aramaic like nicknames, Rocky. You know, you're going to be Rocky. As we look at these first disciples of Jesus, those who are open to this wondrous thing that God was doing. Well, much of the world didn't even notice, wasn't paying attention. Some people were not only open, but receptive and interested and became a part of the movement of God's Spirit here as Jesus came to earth. There's certain characteristics that were clearly in these first disciples who began to learn Jesus' way. And I want to invite you this morning to pray to God for these characteristics to be true of you. Because the more true they are of you, the more you will be open to receiving this light of God and participating with the work of God in the world. And the first thing we see in terms of characteristics of these first disciples is a spirit of humility, a humble spirit. Do you see that in the disciples? I mean, certainly it's characteristic of Jesus, who humbled himself from his position in heaven and took on human flesh. Who humbled himself, who didn't need to be baptized. It was a baptism of confession for sin, and Jesus hadn't sinned. He did that out of love, out of humility, to join hands with all of humanity. But we see this spirit of humility in John the Baptist. In the verses just before today's passage, we have people coming from Jerusalem asking him, "So who are you? Are you the Messiah? Are you Elijah? Are you some great prophet?" And he says, No, I'm none of that. I'm not the Messiah. I'm not a great prophet. I'm not Elijah. I'm just a voice crying out in the wilderness, get ready. Prepare the way for the Lord. He's the one. After me is coming one who's so far more powerful than I that I'm not worthy to carry his sandals. That spirit of humility enables John the Baptist to be open to seeing, perceiving, responding when Jesus comes walking by. And we need that spirit of humility too. You know, if we think that we already know it all, I know none of our teenagers feel that way, right? I know none of us in our 20s or 30s or 40s or no 3-year-olds. Unless we have a spirit of humility, we're not open to anything. And may God grant us a spirit of humility. May we pray for that. The second thing we see here is that they have the spirit of seeking. They had a seeking spirit. If you're truly humble, then that means you don't know it all, that you need to know some more, that you want to grow some more, that you want to mature, you want to grow up, whatever your age might be. And so you're seeking to do so. You know, that's why I know many of you parents have been coming to that parenting group on Sunday mornings or this past Wednesday evening. It was great to see the lounge full of parents who say, I'm seeking to get better at this. I know I'm an amazing parent, but you know, I could really use some help here. I'd like to do better. Or those of you who know the scriptures inside and out to say, yeah, there's so much more I need to know. I want to know. This is true of scientists, right? The further you go along, those of you who are scientists, you say, oh man, now I realize how little I know. And so you want to know more. It's that curiosity that drives you. And that's true for the spiritual life, that we pray for this sense of curiosity, this hunger to know, to grow, to serve better, to be more fully a part of God's work in the world. Well, we never arrive in this life. We're always humble and seeking to grow and to serve. We see that in these disciples. I love the way Andrew and the others who are following John the Baptist, they're there following John the Baptist because they wanted to learn. They wanted to grow. But when John the Baptist says, now, here's the one you really want to follow, they take their next step and they start to follow Jesus. And so we do ask that. What's the next step for you in terms of your learning, in terms of your growth as a disciple of Jesus Christ? We're going to be starting up these community Bible experiences in just a few weeks, February 12th. Next week we'll have an announcement about this. I want to encourage you to be thinking about this. February 12th through Lent, leading up to Easter, we're going to invite everybody in our church to read through the whole New Testament. Now, some of you have done that before. Maybe you've done that multiple times. And others here, you're not even sure what the New Testament is. That's okay. Because we're all humble here together. We're all seeking here together. And I want to invite you to join one of those small groups that we'll be beginning in a couple of weeks. And to say, I want to read through the whole New Testament. I don't even know how I can do that. Is it possible to? Yeah, it's possible. We'll help each other do that. And we'll talk about what we're seeing and what we're learning. And we'll learn and grow together. I want to invite you to be a part of that. I want to invite you to look here at our other small groups and our Sunday school classes and our parenting group and whatever the opportunities might be for you and your family members to seek to grow, to learn, to get involved, to serve more fully, to talk to Luke about how can I help with our youth program, our young adult ministry as it's getting going here, to speak with Katie Garrett or one of our other staff people about how you can help out at Awana on Wednesday night. We've got a gangbuster ministry going, and we've got a problem. It's growing so much that we need more help. Maybe God would lead you, as you're seeking to serve him, to get involved in that way. The list goes on. So humility, a humble spirit, pray for that. A seeking spirit, pray for that. The third thing that we see in these people is a courageous spirit. You need to know that for Andrew and whoever he was with, maybe it was John, to leave John the Baptist and start walking after this person who's been told to them to be the Messiah, that's a pretty courageous step. You know, say, we want to follow you. We want to be a part of what you're doing. Hey, look at what happens to Peter. He comes to Jesus, and Jesus says, I know who you are, and I know who you will be. Your life is going to change. Follow me, and I'm going to make you a person who is fishing for men and women. Follow me, Jesus says. And, well, at the end of the Gospel of John, next time he talks to him and says, Simon, son of John, he says, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Three times over, Simon, son of John, he uses that title, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I do. Then Jesus goes on to tell him, follow me, and as you do, you're going to die on a cross. Are you ready, as you come to church this morning, to actually look Jesus in the eye and let him look you in the eye, and for him to say, I know you and I love you just the way you are. And I'm going to call you to become something you have not yet dreamed of. And it might cost you everything. I want you to know, if you decide to come back to Salem Covenant Church next week, that you need to be praying to God for courage. Because if you meet God here this morning, next week, all bets are off. He may tell you that it's time to actually follow him, to actually take a stand, to actually get involved in the troubles of our world, to get out of your seat in the lunchroom and go sit with that person nobody else wants to sit with. To go stand up for that person that everybody else is making fun of in the grocery store. To get involved in the politics, the messy politics of our world, and say, we are going to stand up for those who are the outcast, for those who are in poverty, for those that our world will not treat justly. We want to be with them. To follow Jesus, to learn Jesus' way. If you don't know anything else about Jesus, you got to know that his path is a path that entails courage. It cost him his life, and it will cost you yours. You're going to have to give it up, deny yourself, and take up your cross if you're going to follow him. And of course, at the heart of that is the fourth thing. As we pray to God for humility, as we pray to God for that seeking spirit, as we pray to God for courage, we need to pray to God for that generous spirit that we see just bubbling up and bubbling over in these first disciples. John the Baptist, it's not about me, it's about him. Andrew, whoa, we found the Messiah. I got to go find my brother. Does your relationship with God, with Jesus Christ, just bubble over you so much, this spirit of generosity that you've got to go tell other people. You've got to invite them. Come and see what I've experienced. The joy of life that I've discovered in Christ, the support in my times of need, the light to guide me in my times of darkness, the hope in times of despair. Come and see what I've experienced. We often think of evangelism as this thing where we got to just twist people's arm, talk them into it, force them to come, and that's why we don't want to do it. But as we look at Andrew, as we look at these early disciples, it's none of that. Jesus doesn't twist anybody's arm. He says to you even this morning, follow me. And he starts walking. And you've got the opportunity of an eternity to walk with him. And that's what we need to be offering to our friends and our family members, to our neighbors. Come and see. You know, tomorrow, Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday. And I've been thinking about the various things he did and he said. And one of the lines that's been sticking with me is this one. He says, there's a time that comes when silence is betrayal. When we remain silent, we're betraying our neighbor, our friends, our family members. And that's true in terms of evangelism, certainly. When we don't say, come and see, come and experience this joy, this life that I've found in Christ. And it's true when we don't do, as certainly Martin Luther King Jr. was talking about, allow our relationship with God, our life in Christ, this light that is burning within us to overflow with a generous spirit that stands up with others, that stands up for others. We desperately need to get rid of this silence, the sense that, you know, our faith is private and personal, and we need to start living it. We need to start speaking up on behalf, especially of those Jesus spoke up for. Those who nobody else will speak up for. By God's grace, may the Spirit of Christ overflow as this generosity, this courageous spirit that allows Christ's light to shine, especially when things seem the darkest. So I want to invite you to pray with me now for a humble spirit, a seeking spirit, a courageous spirit, for a generous spirit. That as we learn Jesus' way, we would offer to the world this gift of the light of Christ. Would you pray with me? God, thank you for coming to earth. Jesus, thank you for your light that shines in the darkness. We remember again the words of the Gospel of John that say, to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God. And God, we want to be those children. We want to be your children here in this world. Grant us the grace to be poor in spirit. Grant us the grace to be peacemakers. Grant us the grace, O God, to participate with your spirit and your church and your redemptive healing work in our world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.